U.S.-supported regime in Kabul was the fact that the three weekday evening news programs devoted a combined total of only 5 minutes to coverage of Afghanistan during all of 2020. More recently, tabulated statistics compiled by Tyndall Report show that Afghanistan was entirely absent from the network evening news in January through March of 2021 and claimed a total of only 82 minutes between April and the end of July before hitting 345 minutes in August when the Taliban swept across the country and entered Kabul. In September, by which time the Taliban had taken full control and virtually all Americans had left Afghanistan, the combined network total fell sharply to 82 minutes, only to fall even further to 10 minutes in October. The 2 3-minute segments that addressed the growing humanitarian and hunger crisis aired on NBC Nightly News and ABC Evening News on November 17th and December 15th, respectively. But the morning network news shows generally attract only about a third of the audiences of their evening counterparts. Much more commendable was CBS's coverage of the humanitarian crisis. In a nearly 15-minute segment featured on December 12th edition of 60 Minutes, the nation's most widely watched primetime public affairs program, whose audience normally numbers about 9 million. Negotiating with the Taliban featured interviews not only with representatives of international humanitarian groups, but also with the Taliban health minister. What was missing in the 60-minute segment, as with the 2 evening news segments about the crisis on the ABC and NBC, however, was any focus on the U.S. role in restricting or blocking funding that could help alleviate its catastrophic impact. As noted by Julie Holar of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, the ABC reporter referred only to a mix of sanctions and drought as the crisis' main causes, while NBC's segment concluded its report by simply noting the Taliban's appeal to the United States and other governments to unblock funds frozen since the takeover. Even the 60 Minutes story failed to note Washington's contribution to the crisis, insisting instead that it was the much vaguer international community that was responsible for freezing Afghan assets and shutting down foreign aid and extending sanctions. While that characterization is technically true, the main driver of these actions since August has been the United States regime, which froze $9.5 billion of Afghanistan's own foreign reserves, pressured the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank to delay emergency support, and effectively denied Afghanistan's banks access to the international financial system. Washington's responsibility for the Afghan people's current plight would be highly relevant to U.S. news organizations purportedly dedicated to informing American citizens about what their government is doing. After all, taxpayers have spent an estimated $2.3 trillion and lost more than 2,400 service members during Washington's 20-year war in Afghanistan. And the three networks' weekday evening news broadcasts themselves devoted a total of 5,590 minutes to covering that war over that same period. But more than 90% of those 93-plus hours, Tyndall told responsible statecraft in August, was devoted to the U.S. role in the actual fighting. No more U.S. troops and Marines on the ground, no more coverage on the evening news, the Afghanistan. Despite Washington's enormous impact on the country, both through its military intervention and now through its sanctions, fades quickly into distant memory. Left behind, 23 million Afghans at risk of starvation to add to roughly 176,000 Afghans killed during America's longest war.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son, he's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are mostly based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and naturally of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and Islamic researcher Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Dear Sayyid, today we will again be talking about this very, very important and vast topic about how we should raise our children in an actual Islamic and correct manner. Last we mentioned that we needed to prepare an Islamic environment that is safe and nurturing and productive for our children so that they may grow in a good Islamic environment. And as part of this Islamic environment, we mentioned, for example, a good friend. Friends that they influence in a good manner our child and vice versa. Dear Sayyid, what other things do we have to take into consideration when we want to raise our children in an Islamic manner?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan al-la'in ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajum. If you grow a garden and a farm with fruits and veggies and what have you, you would want to keep it safe from thieves and from people just walking past and taking
right.
from
pests
it,
and so on,
destroying right. it. So it needs a bit of protection and a guard,
of
right?
course.
Right. And this is what everything that has value, we guard it. So the most expensive diamond, it's going to be almost impossible to get to. Right.
Right.
The more money, gold, it's always locked up in safes right. that no one can access unless you're a thief.
The more so something is worth it, the more careful we are
exactly.
protecting it.
So we try to protect it, but there are thieves that could manage to sneak up on you.
Right.
Now, with religion and the faith of Islam being the most valuable thing in a person's life, because not only your life here depends on it, but your eternity on day of judgment also depends on it.
Right.
If you lose it here, you would have a very devastating result in the hereafter.
Right. Right?
So eternity in hellfire, God forbid. So to protect and guard our faith is extremely important. With kids, when we try to install Islam in their system and inject it in their system, we need to have a guard and an antivirus system that
right.
does not allow for people to come and steal that system.
Okay, immunity, a barrier, a
yeah,
defense.
Yeah, so you need to have a sort of protection.
Right.
Now, one of the means of protection is the fact that you get to know the dangers out there. Now, with any antivirus in this world, they have what they call an antivirus database.
Right.
What they do is they put
all the names of the known viruses to date in that program. And that program, what it does, it uses this data that it has
right.
to search for anything similar in the system and says, recognize. Okay, now you have a problem.
Right.
Without this database file in the antivirus, the antivirus is useless. Same thing with our kids. If we want to protect them, we have to understand what dangers are out there.
And on that note, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how to raise our children in a Islamic manner. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
We were saying that parents need to have a system to protect the child, and right. first and foremost, they have to begin with identifying the dangers.
The first line of defense.
Yeah.
Right.
The first danger that we have to be aware of,
right.
and the first thief that we have to be aware of, is the thief and the danger that we ourselves bring in and invite. And that is devices, screens.
Right.
Right. Now, our kids, pretty much most of the time they are home.
Right.
When they are home, they have to be, or hardly they are playing, so they have to be facing one of a few devices, either a mobile phone, either a tablet, or either a computer screen.
A laptop, computer.
Or TV. So it has right. to be one of these screens. And he's constantly on these screens.
Right.
The more they have screen time, the easier it is for anyone to manipulate their faith and steal right. their faith from them.
Right.
Or it automatically just becomes less.
The probability
the more,
is there. Right.
The more kids watch nonsense and the more kids waste time, it becomes a habit.
Right.
This habit of wasting time, it will deprive them of their afterlife. So you know how the Imam says, إِيَّاكَ وَالضَّجَرِ وَالْكَسَلِ, I warn you from boredom and laziness, because right. one will deprive you this world and the other one will deprive you the other world.
Right.
So just being lazy and bored. So right. the more they get into this habit of just being on screen time,
right.
that itself is a danger. Right. Yet alone the contents that being pushed into their brains, be it through cartoons, be it sometimes through an ad. Sometimes now with YouTube they're pushing a specific ad called Mafia City. I don't know if you've seen it.
Right.
With Mafia City ads, it's very destructive in nature.
Right.
It's only like 10-15 seconds ad. It's very destructive in its nature, but a lot of people think it's just a normal ad.
That's the purpose of an ad, to be distracting.
If you analyze it, it's an ad for a game, but if you do an analysis to this ad, it's very destructive. And so on and so forth. So the kids get to see these things, even as an ad when they're watching their favorite program.
Sayyid, of course, these promotional ads, you can find them everywhere, in every single society. They always use some form of corruptive manner to pull the viewer in. Like in Western societies, often a female, also in Eastern societies for that matter.
Well, that's an idea of an ad. You would not make an ad if
right.
it's not appealing.
Exactly.
It doesn't attract people. And they right. put a lot of amount of effort and research into these ads.
Right.
Even psychologists sit behind these ads and make
right.
it.
So it's a whole itself, science.
Yeah, so marketing itself is a big study where people learn all these tricks.
Yeah, right.
So me, I have to understand that sometimes with these devices, I give them to my kids as a gift. Here you
right.
go, I got your laptop, I got your tablet, I got
it's your... It's disguised
phone.
As a gift.
Yeah, so I give it to them as a gift. But I fail to take a precaution when it comes to these gifts,
right.
to these devices,
right.
that they're open to everything. Even in countries where a lot of things are blocked, now everyone has a VPN.
Right.
And kids have VPNs now.
Right.
The kids
right.
now, that, you know, they live in this age, they don't live in a different age.
So if you want to sin, you
say,
can
well,
find
my,
a way.
My son does not, right. doesn't know about a VPN. Well, right. maybe he doesn't, but trust me, his friend would have told him already.
Right.
So you have to be aware that you have an open world, in the palms of your child's hand, and that can deprive him of everything, sometimes even of his life.
Right.
Many people commit suicide because of that.
So to summarize, be aware that the gift that you're giving is not a Trojan horse, but an actual gift.
Exactly.
And with that, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how to raise our children Islamically. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
Therefore, we want parents to take extra care when it comes to handing these devices to their kids. And now, especially in terms, because we're talking about religion, especially in terms of faith, now we have very smart, very cunning, very manipulative atheists.
Right.
And they have a way of talking. They have ways of trying to prove there is no existence of God.
Very good debaters.
Very good debaters. They're not very good. They're the dumbest people. But the
dumb, but they know the art of debate.
They have the art of speaking.
Yes.
The art of talking. The art of convincing. They have that.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of Muslim kids fell victim to that.
Many.
So that deprives them when a child comes and he says, well, I don't believe God exists. Well, we have a problem. We have a major problem.
A serious problem.
Yeah.
Right.
And how did that happen? Is because simply he was sitting on a device like this that I given to him.
Right.
And then he just lost it. So I have to be careful that what we give them, when we give them screen time, we have to make sure that it is used properly in a proper manner.
We need to monitor.
Or even sometimes when we talk about the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, I've seen many people who debate the concept of Imama or Esma,
right,
or the concept of the existence of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And there are those from other faiths who have also ways of debating.
Right.
And I could name a few names here who are very cunning in the way they talk.
Yes.
And they, when if you listen to them, like, they make a lot of sense.
It makes logical sense.
Makes logical sense. Right. It makes you doubt your faith.
Right.
Right? So we have to be very careful that we don't open Pandora's box to our kids and say, oh, there you go.
Right.
But you have to be very careful.
They are completely unprepared to this. Even the average Muslim is unprepared to these things that are going around on the internet.
Exactly. Adults sometimes find it hard to cope because as an adult, my iman and my faith is a lot stronger. So even when I hear something I don't understand, I say, well, I don't know the answer. I don't buy it. I'm sure we have an answer for this. I don't know the answer.
We have a reasoning
for but this. I don't, my faith does not shake.
Right.
But as a teenager, as a young boy, it really shakes up your faith.
It's the most impressionable age of a human being.
Exactly. So what we need to do is we need to make sure we have as less screen time as possible with our kids,
right,
which is sadly hardly done by parents. We need to give them less screen time. And when I say less screen time, I don't mean take the device from them or give them time limits. That doesn't work. Give them other activities to be busy with.
Like offer alternatives.
Offer alternatives. Take them swimming.
Right.
Take them out.
Yeah,
to
fun
the park.
Activities. Right.
Take them out shopping. Take them with you to your friends. Take them with you to a holy shrine.
Right.
Take them with you on a trip.
Whatever. Just something
social.
Keep
them busy.
Right.
Right. You keep them busy away from the screen.
Right.
The more you put them in front of the screen, behind door, the more danger there is.
I would argue
for our kids.
Is there say that the problem, in addition to this, is giving them privacy?
Too
much privacy.
It is. You're giving them privacy they don't require.
Right.
And now even, I heard one of the comedians making a joke about his daughter being locked. He says that I have a law in my house that no one should lock their door, and my daughter locks up her door. And so it's becoming not just a Muslim issue, but a non-Muslim issue. It's a common issue where kids locking up themselves in rooms, and we simply don't know what's going on.
Right, and on that note, dear Sayyid, we will unfortunately have to end today's program. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any comments or questions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. In addition to that, we also have social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and this is how Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, enlightens us regarding the mission of her father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Allah has sent Muhammad as perfection for his commands, a resolution to accomplish his rule, and an implementation of the decrees of his mercy. So he found the nations to vary in their faiths, obsessed by their fires, worshipping their idols, and denying Allah despite their knowledge of him. Therefore Allah illuminated their darkness with my father, Muhammad, uncovered obscurity from their hearts, and cleared the clouds from their insights. He revealed guidance among the people, so he delivered them from being led astray, led them away from misguidance, guided them to the proper religion, and called them to the straight path.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Chinese astronauts on board the space station have held a unique conference with students, sending them a message that sky is the limit. They hope to inspire students to pursue their dreams and be proactive about their goals. Let's have a listen.
Every one of us went through rigorous selection and arduous training before carrying out space missions. Many people have to wait for several years, dozens of years, and even a whole life. But what deserves praise is that we have never given up, but remain true to our original aspiration, stood the loneliness, and passed the tests.
Ye, who is a first-time space traveler, also encouraged students to be brave in following their dreams. The Chinese astronauts talked about their life, work, and personal experiences. Students from Beijing, Hong Kong, and Macau were given the rare chance to ask their own questions during the Ground Space Conference. China launched Shenzhou 13 into space in October last year. The astronauts are scheduled to stay in orbit for 6 months, which will be the country's longest ever crewed mission.
Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is hosting, that is host to a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in the Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats.
The mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baghban has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
Definitely, we want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now they're happy that once again they can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack libraries.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmax for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games, and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign starts as the country faced many challenges, affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them. As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. Five horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable. So when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Abora Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech capital to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Now, the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. The school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes for members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by Spanish environmental group and is inspired by similar orchestra in Paraguay. To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, five elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic, plus they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg. An embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about connecting with Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Today, Tuesday, is the 1st of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 14th of Day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We're going to speak about a great lady, Prophet Muhammad's daughter, Fatima Zahra.
نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
Dear brothers and sisters, we want to look at Fatima Zahra in the verse of relationship. In chapter 42, verse 23, from the Holy Quran, Allah says,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ذلك الذي يبشر الله عباده الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له فيها حسنا إن الله غفور شكور.
It is that of which Allah gives good tidings to His servants who believe and do righteous deeds. Say, O Muhammad, I do not ask you for this message any payment, but only goodwill through kinship. And whoever commits a good deed, we will increase for him good therein. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and appreciative.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse of relationship from the Quran says, it is unanimously agreed upon that the kin mentioned in this verse are Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. There are many traditions narrated by both Shia and the Sunni, which not only specify the kin, but state their names. For example, when this verse was revealed, someone said, Messenger of Allah, who was the kin whose love is obligatory for us? The Prophet said, Ali, Fatima, her two children. This narration has been reported by many Sunni scholars. Another narration similar to the one stated is reported by Tabari and Ibn Hajar. The Messenger of Allah said, Surely Allah made it incumbent on you to love my kin, and I will ask you about them in the hereafter. Moreover, the narrations mentioned on the account of Ahlul Bayt are many, in which they recite this verse as proof of the fact that loving them is a religious duty. It has also been reported that Imam Hassan said, Surely we are among the Ahlul Bayt whose love and support were made incumbent upon the faithful by Allah.
Thank you.
Sayyid Muhsin Naqwi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Imam of the time, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, has said, "Fi bint Rasulillah li uswatun hasana." He said that in the life of the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a role model for me. Therefore, when the Imam of the time says that for me there is a role model in the life of the daughter of the Prophet, surely Imam alayhi salam is also praying for the mu'mineen, the believing. He is also praying for the believers. He is praying for us. He is praying for the mankind. Therefore, we need to be careful when we deal with the people, when we socialize, and in our practical life, when we are dealing with our neighbors or the place where we live. On the other hand, when we look at her in her religious life, when she was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was the best worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She always left everything on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being a wife, she was the best wife. She was the supporter of Imam Ali alayhi salam. After the marriage, when Imam Ali met Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet asked Imam Ali that, "How did you find Fatima?" He said, "I found her best helper in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." This is the environment of in-house.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Thank you to be with today's special from IRIB English Radio. This part and Hazrat Fatima's position that is higher than of her infallible sons. Hazrat Fatima enjoyed a high rank and many virtues. She was a muhaditha, reporter of her father's words and conducts. It is narrated from Imam Jafar Sadiq that after the demise of the Holy Prophet, the angel Gabriel would descend upon Fatima to console her and talk to her about the status and position of her father and children after her. Hazrat Ali wrote the dialogues, which were gathered into a book and later called Mushaf Fatima. Perhaps the saying of Imam Hassan Askari could be a good indication of her virtue and rank as compared to the Imams. He said, "We are the Hujjah, that is the proofs, of Allah and the people, and Fatima is the Hujjah of God, Hujjah of Allah on us." Yes, although Hazrat Fatima's acts, conduct and sayings are authoritative for us, but she did not bear the position of imamat, which is particular to Imam Ali and his 11 infallible sons. The position of imams is successorship of the Holy Prophet as ordained and determined by Allah. According to the traditions, Hazrat Fatima enjoys all the ranks of the imams except the position of imamat. They are therefore from a single nur or light.
Daughter of the Nabi, Lady Fatima, the wife of Ali, Lady Fatima, she is the king, Lady Fatima. How Muslims should be, Lady Fatima.
From the list of lessons we get from Lady Fatima, one can be giving charity. Another lesson Lady Fatima taught us was the importance of charity and how beneficial it can be to not only those who give but society as a whole. God prescribed charity for the purification of the soul and for the increase of sustenance. Her devotion towards her community and serving others remains a huge part of her character and strength. And to remember how giving she was on the anniversary of her martyrdom can serve as a reminder to us all that one of the best ways to us all, that one of the best ways to remember Lady Fatima may be to continue her service in upholding charitable acts throughout all aspects of our lives.
It's worth mentioning here that when Fatima Zahra took control of Fedak, she owned it for 4 years. After the death of the Prophet, we know that Saqifah took place. Abu Bakr was secretly appointed as the Khalifa of the Muslims while Amir al-Mu'mineen is preparing his funeral. Imagine, the Prophet is not yet buried and the Muslims are, some of the Muslims are secretly electing their own leader. In any case, that's the first thing that happens. The Khilafah is usurped. I mean, I want you to think about the change, how drastically things are changing in a span of 48 hours. The Prophet dies, Saqifah happens, Abu Bakr is appointed. On the second day, 2 days after Saqifah, Fedak is confiscated. Meaning literally, they tell the people to leave the land of Fedak. It is now seized by the de facto government, the new government. Now, what is the argument that is being made? The argument that Abu Bakr makes is, I heard the Prophet say, نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَا نُوَرِّثُ. So there are two problems here. Here Abu Bakr is saying that I heard, and he's the only one who reports this narration. I heard the Prophet say that we, the Prophets, do not leave inheritance. Whatever we leave is charity. Number one, Fedak is not inheritance. It was owned by Fatima during her life. But let's assume that it was inheritance. Don't you think that this law that you claim, that this hadith that you attribute to the Prophet, where the Prophet doesn't leave inheritance, whatever he leaves behind his life, don't you think he would have told Fatima? This is something that directly is related to her. Don't you think the Prophet ﷺ, being the wise teacher that he is, don't you think he would have told his daughter, by the way, after I die, there's no inheritance for you, because whatever I leave behind is sadaqah. Instead of leaving her in the dark and having her go to Abu Bakr and say that Fedak belongs to me, and then she goes and gives a lengthy speech and she ends up dying of grief over this confrontation. Are we to believe that? Are we to believe that Rasulullah told someone outside of a stranger that, by the way, this Islamic law is something unique to prophets, where prophets don't leave inheritance, and Ali doesn't know about it, and Ayman doesn't know about it, and Fatima Zahra, everyone is oblivious of it except for Abu Bakr?
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, inshallah. We join together on the another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha bi'adad ma ahata bihi ilmuk. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website, is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.